Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and for the next 90 minutes or so, we're going to be turning our attention to birds. And we'll talk about what we can do to help birds survive this winter weather and beyond this winter weather. As a matter of fact, Laura Erickson of Duluth, Minnesota, author of 101 Ways to Help Birds. It's published by Stackpole Books. Will be our guest. Laura is an ornithologist, licensed wild bird rehabilitator. And before we turn to her, though, we have another bird fanatic, Joy Cardine, joining us.
I am looking forward to finding out how to help the birds, Larry. Happy to be here. I know one way is digging out that bird feeder that I have on my deck that's covered in a couple feet of snow, I think.
It's a
very, very snowy winter in southern Wisconsin anyway. We did break the record for total season snowfall for this area today, and we still have much to go. But I'm looking forward to hearing more about how we can help the birds. And I have a message for you, dear listener, how you can help Wisconsin Public Radio and how you can help yourself by paying for this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge of any amount to 1-800-383-9772.
And if you are willing to support us at the tune of $120, mm-hmm. we will send you a copy of Laura's book, 100 Ways to Help Birds. And, of course, we'll also send you the member benefit card. And we'll be talking about the book as we go along, but some very practical suggestions about how we can help birds in our own backyards, how we can help them nationally. There are things that you and I can do at a national level, even from our own living rooms, to help the birds. She's got lots of great tips here, and it's a wonderful book, about 280 pages or so of information for you on how to help birds. 101 ways to do it, as a matter of fact. Yours for a $120 contribution at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. We have a goalless hour of $7,000, an overall goal for the show of 12, but for this first hour, let's just get to 7,000, Joy.
Yeah, it's important to stay on track, Larry, and meet these hourly goals. So we, by the end of the pledge drive, raise the amount of money and listener contributions that we need to pay for the programming that you value. And a full one-third of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget comes from listener support that is raised predominantly through pledge drives like this one. When you can go to the phone and call 1-800-383-9772, or you can go to your computer and type in WPR.org, and you make a pledge of any amount, whatever feels comfortable for you, whatever fits into your budget. If you would like the book, 101 Ways to Help Birds, pledge $10 a month or more. The $120 pledge is about the average pledge to Wisconsin mm-hmm. Public Radio. You can pay for it monthly if you want to do it that way. And it also entitles you, that $120 pledge, to the member benefit card, which comes to you automatically for any pledge of $120 or more.
Absolutely. And I'll just throw in that we have 8 pairs of tickets left for the big dinner on June 28th, the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou.
I am looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun, Larry.
We're going to have a ball.
We're going to eat a lot. I'm going to eat too much, I know, and I'm looking forward to having you there with Larry. It's going to be you and Gene. I'm going to be
there.
And
we're going to have Sandy Sawchuk, our mm-hmm. veterinarian, is going to be there, and Scott Craven and his wife Candy will be there. Scott's going to maybe do some boat rides around the lake.
Excellent.
And a great dinner. And I will divulge what we're going to be eating a little later on in the show.
Let's put it this way. It's on Larry's Bayou, so that's a hint. It's going to be Cajun food. And you know what? There's going to be some bird watching to do then on June the 28th.
There's always some birds running around or flying around our property and
in
the lake.
That's for $100 a month, a $1,200 mm-hmm. pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Two tickets
to this very special event. We hope to see you there. And we hope to hear the phones ring with your call right now to 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
You are the most important source of financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio. And really, your contribution during this 11 to 12:30 time slot is kind of a vote for this program. Laura, we'll be talking with her in just a minute now. But Laura does a wonderful job, and so do the many, many guests that we have on during this time period. Give you a chance to ask questions about birds today, but the questions come hot and heavy on a whole variety of topics in this hour.
Oh, it's Larry, this is one of my favorite times to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You and your guests have such a good rapport, a good relationship. It's so much fun to listen to, and the topics and guests that Jim Packard will find, like Laura Erickson, and talking about birds, talking about wildlife, talking about the outdoors, talking about your pets, your computers, your homes. There's just so much practical information and information that improves the quality of our lives that you get each and every day on Larry's program. That's worth a pledge, isn't it? A pledge of $10 a month, perhaps? Well, that's the pledge we ask for. If you'd like 101 ways to help birds during this hour, and the member benefit card, which will entitle you to all those two-for-one benefits at restaurants and cultural attractions and even some B&Bs. So it's really a nice benefit card for you to show your support of Wisconsin Public Radio and get some discounts at the same time. 1-800-383-9772 to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Enjoy. You'll come back and say hello a little later on. Thank you very much. Laura Erickson with us now, and your chance to call Laura. I wanted to say a little bit more about Laura. She's an ornithologist, a licensed wild bird rehabilitator. She's a longtime conservationist, the science editor at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. And Laura Erickson with us by phone, by the way. Laura, hi.
Hi, Larry.
How are you doing?
Oh, really good. I'm here in Duluth for the week, so I'm back home. But, yeah, I've been living in Ithaca most of the time now.
You've had that's a big change in your life.
Yes, a big change. But, boy, it's a lovely, lovely opportunity. The Cornell Lab of Ornithology is sort of the epicenter of ornithology in the known universe, so it's thrilling to be there.
And now what are your duties there?
I'm the new editor of their newsletter, BirdScope, and then I do other editing and writing as needed.
Well, it sounds like the perfect job for you, Laura. It really does.
It's really fun.
Well, this weekend brings the annual Great Backyard Bird Count, by the way.
Right, and that's sponsored by Audubon and the Cornell Lab, and it's a really fun way for anybody to get outside and look at birds. You have to be out for a minimum of 15 minutes, sometime between the 15th and the 18th this year, and you can go out all 4 days or just one day. You can do it right in your backyard, or you can go further afield, and then just report your checklist of the birds you've seen. And it provides a lot of really cool information, rather like the Christmas bird count. But it's got one big advantage that the Christmas bird count doesn't have. Rather than doing it in groups in specific circles, you can do it wherever you happen to find birds. And you can post them on the web at birdcount.org, and you get immediate feedback about what everybody else has reported.
Is it Bird Count or is it Bird Source? I had Bird.
Well, it's part of Bird Source, but if you just go to birdcount.org, you don't have to remember any of the other things, and it'll take you to birdsource.org.
But I like
the
that.
Exact right spot.
birdcount.org, and so it's the 15th through the 18th, and then you just, if you want, go out in your backyard, take a look there, spend 15 minutes at least looking, and enter your information and see how you stack up with everybody else.
And see how your chickadees stack up with everybody else.
Yeah, we have a lot of chickadees and a lot of sparrows in our backyard. I know that for sure. But there's some woodpeckers back there, too. So I'm actually going to participate. I'm going to try it.
Cool.
With my daughter, Emily. We'll, the two of us will stand guard and watch what comes and goes from our backyard. Dan in White Lake has a question or comment. Dan, hi.
Good morning. I heard your guest about a week, within the last week or so on her regular program talk about a remote cam, a motion sensing camera that takes pictures of the birds at her feeder when she's gone. I'd like to know what that is and how a guy can get one.
Okay, it's called Bird Cam, and I will search out where you get one. They're really, really cool. They're from wingscapes.com, wingscapes.com. And that's the company that makes them. And I've been really pleased with mine because when I got to Ithaca on January 3rd, I'd have to go to work while it was still dark in the morning, and I'd get home before while it was dark again.
Oh.
And so the only way I could see what birds I was missing was to have this bird cam set up. It has a motion detector, and then it just takes a picture, and you can set the focus distance. I have mine close enough to my feeder that I set it in the 18 to 23-inch range, and it just takes pictures of tufted titmice and American tree sparrows and blue jays and all the birds I'm missing.
Oh, that's it. Now, is this a little different from the other cams that our wildlife people use, like to see deer and so forth at night?
Oh, it's very, very similar to the ones that they use to see deer. The only difference is that because this is the intention is to get pictures of songbirds during the daytime, the pictures are in color.
Oh, okay.
But otherwise, it's the exact same principle. It's weatherproof and set up to, take the pictures based on motion.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, let me give the number for people to call in. If you have a question for Laura Erickson, feel free to join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Louise in Hillsborough has a question or a comment. Let's go to Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've noticed this year, which seems very odd to me, for the last, I'd say 4 or 5 years, we've had numerous couples of grosbeaks coming to our feeder, really beautiful birds. And this year we've got lots of birds, but no grosbeaks, and I'm kind of wondering what happened.
Which grosbeak are you talking about? The pine grosbeak? That's the red one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Also the evening grosbeak, but the pine grosbeak is an eruptive species. So some years there's a whole lot of them, some years there's a few, and some years there's none at all. And it doesn't seem, in the case of pine grosbeaks, to be cyclical, and it also doesn't seem to indicate anything is going wrong with the population. Evening grosbeaks are definitely declining. This year, some people are seeing them who haven't seen them in several years, and that's part of the fact that this is a big eruption year for evening grosbeaks, mainly a little further east than Wisconsin. But the evening grosbeak is one of the rapidly declining species, and nobody's really put their finger on why.
On why.
But pine grosbeaks are, now you see them, now you don't.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Louise. Thanks for calling. Gary in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Laura and Larry.
Hi.
I got a question about robins in northern Wisconsin in the winter. Never used to see those. This Christmas, in our crabapple tree, my wife looked out the window. In addition to three male cardinals, she saw a male robin. And then just last week, she saw 10 robins in our backyard, close to the foundation where the snow had melted away. Is this a change? And what do they eat in the winter? I thought they always usually eat night crawlers and worms.
The robin diet switches in late summer. Usually around August, they stop eating earthworms and start eating fruit.
Okay.
And so in the winter, they're primarily frugivores. And in the winter, they're primarily a flocking species. So you're more likely to see a flock than you are one individual. And virtually all the wintering robins in Wisconsin are males. The females go further south. The males have a real advantage if they get to their territory first as far as being able to drive off other males. So the ones that winter a little further north do have an edge, assuming they survive the winter. But robins, because they eat fruit, they wander a lot in the winter. And so if their food source empties out or if it gets really, really cold, they'll move, and it's not anything, a big deal to them.
Okay. Is there anything, any kind of food or fruit that we could put out for them?
If it's a mild enough day that mealworms will keep moving for a little while, you can set those out, and when they notice the movement, then they'll start going to that dish, and then if you put them out when it's cold again and the mealworms instantly freeze up, they'll still know that that's a good source of food. Sometimes they'll figure out eating like frozen strawberries or berries or stuff, blueberries. And some of them, robins don't normally eat at feeders, so they don't normally notice it. But I did know a guy in northern Wisconsin who set out his bird bath, filled it with sphagnum moss and a bird bath heater, and had mealworms and fruit in there. And he thought it was going to feed all these robins because he had this huge flock in his yard. But one robin took it over and spent the whole, like, over a month defending that bird bath against all comers.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Laura Erickson, our guest today, author of, among other things, 101 Ways to Help Birds. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking birds today with Laura Erickson, ornithologist, author of 101 Ways to Help Birds. She also has the author of For the Birds, An Uncommon Guide, Sharing the Wonders of Birds with Kids. Great person and a real authority on birds, and I'm really happy to have her with us today. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Jim in Rhinelander is up next, I believe. Jim, hi.
Hi, good morning. A few weeks ago, I woke up on a Saturday morning. It was 25 below zero, and I got the bright idea to drive to the Manitouish River to take photos of the fog coming off the river.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as I was out there, I saw a kingfisher, and I was wondering how unusual is that for a bird like that to stay around all winter. And then when I got home, there was a shrike in our yard eating a vole. So that was a real interesting Saturday for me.
Well, the shrike was way more expected than the kingfisher.
Yeah.
That's an exceptionally rare thing this time of year, especially that far north in the state. And so if you have a chance, and you can reconstruct the exact date that you saw it, that would be a really worthwhile thing to post on ebird.org. That's a website that collects everybody's checklist, everybody who goes out birding. One of the ways you can help birds is to help scientists know where they are and how their numbers are doing. And anybody can report their sightings to ebird.org. Now, with a kingfisher, because it is so exceptional, especially that late in the season when the temperature was so cold, they would want as many verifying tidbits about what exactly you saw and how you knew it was a kingfisher. But it's really, really an interesting and important sighting. There are some changes in bird ranges that are probably related to climate change, but that's pretty exceptional.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I spoke to Jim Baumann with the DNR.
Oh, yeah, tell Jim, because he would. He is this just incredible birder. I can't say enough about him, and he knows what birds belong up there, and he would get word to Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, too, which is the other place that really should know about good sightings.
Right, and he thought as long as the river stayed open and they have food that, you know, he guessed it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim.
Okay.
Appreciate the call very much.
Yeah, we do see kingfishers occasionally in winter, but they're more expected down like by Madison than up by Manitouish waters. So that's really an interesting sighting.
And let's go to Dave in Decorah, Iowa next. Dave, hi to you.
Hello. Hi, Laura. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Dave Carlson. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good.
Good. Early nesters. What can you tell us about them? I'm looking at one of Bob Anderson's eagle nests right now that he is studying along with photographer Neil Redig, and they're producing a nature documentary. But it's some interesting activity taking place, isn't it?
Yeah, the eagles won't lay their eggs this early, but they will be... if they're around where they're going to be nesting, and in Wisconsin and along, you know, the Mississippi and everything, the ones that are going to be nesting around there often stick around for the winter so they can keep other eagles who are in their first or second year of nesting and still looking for a good site. They can let them know, wait, this nest is taken. So they'll spend some energy, you know, working, you know, some finishing touches. Eagles are never, ever satisfied with their home construction. They're always making improvements. They probably all listen to Larry's program and would be donating money to support Wisconsin Public Radio had they pockets. But they don't, so we listeners have to support the program. But yeah, early nesters. Now, there is one species that readily nests in Wisconsin even when it's well below zero, usually starting in February, but this year there's an exceptionally early one, and that's great horned owls. And there's one nesting in one of the power plant peregrine falcon boxes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't remember where that is, but I'll bet there's going to be a caller who will tell us all about that. That's on one of the Wee Energy sites, and I don't know what happened, but it started out with a great horned owl is sitting on at least one egg. I think there were two eggs last I heard, and she can't get off the nest all day. Normally she would sit tight anyway, but she doesn't dare get off it because two peregrine falcons want that nest box. That's their box in their mind. And in the daytime, they could just dive bomb her and really cause some damage if she survived. But they don't dare land in the box because the great horned owl would win in a face-to-face, down-on-solid-ground battle. So it's going to be really interesting how that plays out. But that is, I believe, the earliest nesting of a great horned owl. I think it was something like January 7th or something, or January 8th, that she was on an egg already.
Very interesting. Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. See you tomorrow, Laura.
Yep.
Okay. Sari and Nishkoro, it's your turn. Hi, Sari.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks so much for your program today. My husband and I just love watching our birds that come to feeders scattered around our backyard. And this year, we're really noticing the finch population seems to be a bit smaller and really sort of sporadic at the feeders. And we're wondering if you have any clues as to why that would be.
The pine siskins.
I'm sorry. I'm going to take my answer off the phone so my husband can hear the answer.
Okay. All right, thanks.
The finches are all eruptive species. And this year, there's a whole lot of finches in some places where they are not usually found. I'm in Ithaca, New York, most of the time now, and they're being inundated with redpolls, which are a lifer for a lot of backyard birders, because they aren't usually found there. And meanwhile, they are there's still some in Wisconsin and Minnesota, but they are much more sporadic than they are some years. And so they're just one of these wandering birds that are hard to keep track of.
Thanks for calling. Mary in Kenosha, your turn. Hi, Mary.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter had three blue spots way at the back of her yard, obviously birds, and she determined they were bluebirds. Now, is that unusual for this time of the year?
It would be important to get a good look at them to see if they're eastern bluebirds or if they're mountain bluebirds, because once in a while mountain bluebirds turn up in Wisconsin. It's an unusual thing, but either would be unusual this time of year. But there are some bluebirds do remain pretty far north, and you know, in the central states, and it's not unheard of. Again, like robins, they're a flocking species in the winter time. So if you see any, you often do see more than one, a little group of them. So, but get a good look at the color of their breast to make sure it's that rosy bluebird color rather than whitish.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
And Jerry in Amherst, your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I have two quick questions.
Okay.
I have, in the last 15 years, not seen a single shrike. And in the last 2 years, it's almost a common occurrence. Is there an increase in population, or am I just lucky? That's question one. And then second, could Laura update us on the ivory-billed woodpecker and whether there's been a confirmed sighting or whether it's still something of a mystery?
Well, I'll do the easy question first.
That's the shrike question.
Yes. We do seem to have had a really good migration and eruption of shrikes, particularly this winter. And there's a really cool bird watcher from Wisconsin who works at Eagle Optics, and he has a great blog, and that's at birddigiscoping.com. That guy's Mike McDowell. And he posted this week a really interesting thing. He's been looking closely at shrike numbers in Wisconsin. And you can see what he has at birddigiscoping.com, and then click on the blog there. And that will tell you a whole lot of interesting things about shrike numbers. But, yeah, a lot of people have commented about seeing shrikes this year. So I'm expecting that on the Great Backyard Bird Count this weekend, shrike numbers will be something that will be pretty newsworthy.
That's cool. What about that ivory-billed woodpecker?
Well, E.O. Wilson just wrote something on at the Boston Globe that was in this week. He went down to, now I can't remember if he went to Arkansas or to the other spot that people are searching in Florida, and he, like me, is absolutely convinced that at least one male ivory-billed woodpecker was definitely seen in Arkansas. In Arkansas back in 2004 and 5. But that may have been one lone bird who never did find a mate, or it may be we may have a pair of the world's most secretive birds. Maybe they wear a yellow-bellied sapsucker disguise most of the time or something. Nobody has any solid, verifiable evidence of them in Arkansas since 2005, and there's not been any photos, and there were a few sightings back then, and there have been a few tantalizing hints, like people hearing things that may have been them, but I don't know of anything definite. And it's really sad, and you know, it's sad that we may have lost the species twice, in a sense.
Right.
And it's all we can do is hope, I guess.
Yep, I guess that's all we can do. You mentioned Eagle Optics a little earlier, and then we were talking about the bird cam earlier, and actually the bird cam dealer in Wisconsin is Eagle Optics in Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want some more information about the bird cam, you can go to eagleoptics.com or call their 800 number and find out some more at 800. Jim Packard found this for me, 289-1132, 289-1132. That's their 800 number if you're maybe interested in looking into the bird cam for your backyard feeder as well. And you can join us with your own question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. I have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. But, Laura, I wanted to ask you about your book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. Why did you happen to write this book?
Well, that was my Rachel Carson book. I was closing in on the age when she published Silent Spring, and I wanted to do something that would really show people ways that we could prevent a silent spring. My working title for the book was actually Resounding Spring. And it was very depressing researching it and finding out all the things that harm birds and all the ways that in our just day-to-day activities we are directly or indirectly affecting birds, just using energy, using paper, using all kinds of things. So conservation became very clear to me, a critical thing that we can do to protect birds, just conserving the amount of energy. Choosing the kinds of food that we eat turns out to have a huge impact on birds. Eating less beef in particular, not becoming a vegetarian, but just being a little mindful of where each kind of food that we eat comes from and the cost to the environment of growing it, so that we can try and minimize that as when we can. So there were just, it was just depressing in some ways. I found out the number one killer of female prairie chickens is fences.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Males are killed more by predators, but females are more secretive than the males, so they don't quite as often get killed by predators. But when they walk through the prairie grasses, everything that is the width of grass yields. So they just know that when they fly into that fence, it's going to yield like grass, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, your book is filled with information kind of like that, things that, you know, maybe we haven't stopped to think about very much or at all. And it's really kind of nice, and you've got 101 ways that we can do this, even when we're traveling or in our own backyard. It's really a fascinating book.
Well, my last chapter is about being an ambassador for birds. And, Larry, every day when you go to work, you are an ambassador for birds. Even when your topic isn't about birds, you have these open discussions where people can find out ways that they can make their garden better, things they can do in their house, things they can do with their pets, and all these little things that really do make the world a better place. And that includes a better place for birds.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your kind words. And I'll just mention in passing before we go to the phones that you can get a copy of Laura's book for a $120 or more contribution at 1-800-383-9772. Just call in, make your contribution, tell them you'd like a copy of Laura's book, and we'll be happy to send it along. 800-383-9772. Give us a call. And Jim in Appleton is up next. Let's go to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. Nice program. It's interesting, the previous caller about the bluebirds, they're not crazy. On the 28th of January, while traveling in Green Lake County, I saw a flock of four for sure, and I had to stop along the highway and looked at, stopped and sat on an electrical wire, and I got a good look at all of them, and they were definitely bluebirds.
Isn't that cool?
Not cool, yeah.
They're just unexpected beauty that just makes our day a little brighter.
maybe it's a foreharbinger of spring. I would hope so.
Let's hope.
It might be tricky to distinguish the last bluebird of winter from the first bluebird of spring.
Could be. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jim, for calling. Oh, well put, Laura, well put. Connie in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi, Connie.
Hi there. I have a basic question. Do birds need water in winter? What about heated bird baths?
Birds definitely need water all the time. Their bodies are a little better than mammal bodies at conserving water, so it's not normally as critical for them. You'll notice that when you have little chickadees at your feet, or even when it's 20 below, you don't see steam coming out of their nostrils the way you would, a mammal. They don't waste as much body water, but they do need water. But they can get it from eating snow and letting it, melt so it's not as critical for them. Heated bird baths can be a real blessing for birds in cold weather, but if the water is if it's too cold and it's steaming, then it's not a good idea because the steam can coat their feathers. Also, if it's freezing, you should never allow birds to take baths in winter. Some of them, in particular starlings, which a lot of people don't care about, except if it happens to starlings, it could happen to other birds. Some of them will actually, because the water, if it's freezing in the air, the water is going to be significantly warmer, and if they get immersed and then come out, their feathers, the water on their feathers will instantly freeze, and it can literally kill them. So you don't want them to take baths. So if they're in the water, either get some rocks and stuff so they can't immerse. They can just dip their beaks for drinks, or put something over it like wooden dowels or a plastic-coated grill of some kind so they can get their beak in there to get a drink but can't get their whole body wet.
Boy, that's great information. A lot of people enjoy those heated waters, but as you say, and especially this kind of weather across most of Wisconsin, we're at, what, zero or a little above, and you're going to have a lot of steam coming out of that water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Connie, thank you. John in Darlington, your turn. Hi, John.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Larry and Laura.
Hi.
Hi. I've got a good report for you, Laura.
Cool.
And my son is a physician in Rhinelander, and he has two cabins up by the Sugar Camp area in between the Rhinelander and Eagle River. He has one cabin on Lake Columbus, a small, real nice lake. And then the other cabin is on Long Lake. And every time I go there, we usually go for a weekend. And every time I go, the last 3-4 years especially, I see juvenile eagles, you know, the brown ones.
Yeah.
And then occasionally I see an adult. But it must mean that they've really taken hold and then really are starting to grow. And that's great. Because if I don't catch fish, I know when I go up there, I'm going to see the wonderful eagles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the eagles are a great success story, aren't they, Laura?
Yeah, they're doing just great. And that does remind me about those lakes in northern Wisconsin. There's a lot of people who put out loon nests, floating nest structures for loons now. And that's a great idea, except there's one little caveat. Loons really prefer the floating nests to any other kind. And so if there are two of those on a lake, they're each going to get a pair of loons. And the problem is that if there's two pairs of loons on the same lake, they're going to waste a whole lot of energy fighting.
Oh.
There's cases of them actually killing each other, and it's almost impossible for them to successfully raise babies when they're spending all their time fighting. So if you are on a smaller medium lake in northern Wisconsin, make sure there's only one loon nest platform on your lake. Don't put a second one out if somebody already has a first one, because it won't be good for the loons. Yeah. There really can be too much of a good thing.
Oh, that's more good information. Thank you very much for calling, John. Laura Erickson, our guest today, ornithologist and author of 100 Ways to Help Birds. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking birds today with our guest, Laura Erickson, author of 101 Ways to Help Birds. And I'm learning a lot. And Joy Cardine joining us now as well. And Joy, you're learning a few things, too.
I am learning quite a bit, Larry. In fact, we've already heard almost 101 ways to help the birds just in this short conversation. And you do learn something new every day on Larry Mueller's program. Now it's time to pay tuition. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-878-9772, the number to call to make a pledge of any amount to help support the programming that you count on every day. Programs like this one. And for a pledge of $10 a month or more, a $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, what a great thank you gift. The book that Laura has authored, 101 Ways to Help Birds. And boy, what a great information in this book, Larry. Everything from, you know, what to do if a bird gets into your house or garage, what to do if a baby bird falls out of the nest, what to do to make sure that you're not hurting birds with your bird feeder. Make sure that your bird feeder is free of toxins or pesticides. All sorts of great information to help you help the birds. 1-800-383-9772. Won't you help Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge of support?
And we have a goal for the entire program of $12,000, but we're shooting for this hour to raise $7,000, and we've raised about $1,700 right now.
Excellent.
So that's very good. But a ways to go yet. I kind of chuckled as I looked at our computer screen and the note from Sarah and Ben in Madison. Sarah says, I was stuck 15 hours on the interstate last week, and the only reason I didn't lose my sanity was because I listened to public radio the whole time.
All right. Well, I'm glad, Sarah and Ben, that Wisconsin Public Radio was able to keep you company during what had to be a very long and stressful time stuck on the interstate, but happy to keep you company. Isn't that what's great about Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry, is that it does. It keeps you company all over the state of Wisconsin. I love traveling around and finding the different stations as I travel around. And one listener told me she'll panic if she can't.
She can't find it.
But we are here for you every day. Larry is here for you every weekday, talking with great guests like Laura Erickson, talking about birds this hour. Another day it might be your pets. Another day it might be your gardens. All sorts of great guests, great information. Information that helps you lead and live a better life.
1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Joy, do you hear that? Hear that sound?
Oh, all right. It's the Rockin' Zydeco.
I tell you what, that Cajun music that just comes out of nowhere reminds me to let you know that for a $1,200 contribution, we'll send you Laura's book, and we'll also invite you to the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou on Saturday afternoon, June 28th. And Joy will be there. I'll be there. Cheryl Gasser will be there. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk will be there to provide some conversation, maybe a little veterinary advice as well, as will Scott Craven, our wildlife ecologist. I know Laura knows, I'm sure Laura knows Scott Craven as well. And Scott's been a very popular guest on the program, and so we've invited him back. And Tom Hall, the Cajun cook, will be preparing a Louisiana-style feast to remember.
And the menu sounds wonderful. Everything dirty rice and green rice, and even some fried turkeys. That one was different for
Cajun
me.
Cajun right? Deep fried turkey. Now we've got, 40 people are coming.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of turkeys, I think.
And he's got a 72-gallon pot, you know, and my wife said, Renee said, well, that's bigger than as big as our trash bin that we've got. I can't wait to see this 72-gallon pot in action, and I don't know how many turkeys he's going to do Cajun style, but there'll be more than one for 40 people.
And the dessert is what I'm looking forward to. Sweet potato, pecan pie with some kind of wonderful
Chantilly cream. Mm. So there we have it. For $600 for a single person, or one person who wants to come by himself or herself, or $1,200 for a pair, we have 16 tickets left, or 8 pairs. So, and when they're gone, they're gone. So if you've been thinking about it, and as Jim says, if you don't contribute the $1,200 and you're going by Larry's home, and if you hear the music rocking, don't come a knocking.
That's right. What you should do, though, is call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Pledge any amount to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge $600 for one ticket or $1,200 for two tickets to the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing you there on June the 28th. And it's a nice thing to think about, Larry, thinking about summer and Cajun food during deep, dark days of winter right now. Won't that be fun? 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And, of course, if you can afford more than that, that would be great, too. A $5,000 check would be wonderful. But, frankly, any amount is mm-hmm. wonderful. And I want to, again, sort of urge you, if you've been thinking about contributing, now would be a wonderful time to do. Maybe you've never contributed before. Maybe you'd be a new contributor. Over the last several days, more than half of the people who have contributed during my show have been new contributors, people who haven't contributed before. Today we have 14 callers total, and five people are new to contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. So maybe you want to start with that $10 a month or $120. You can put it on your credit card if you want to, or your debit card. That's fine, too. Then we have the money right away. And we'll take Visa or MasterCard or American Express or Discover. We'll take any of those credit or debit cards. For $120, we'll send you a copy of Laura's book, 101 Ways to Help Birds, and we'll send you the member benefit card. I've already, I think I've used it three times so far. So
you got to use that more often, Larry.
Yeah, I need to use it, but I've still got about $60. I think
that's
so. I bought half of the $120.
You know, if you use that card regularly, it pays for your pledge time at all. Especially if you spend get a free night at a bed and breakfast. I mean, that'll take care of that. It's a wonderful benefit, but the benefit is the programming, and the benefit is hearing guests like Laura Erickson on Larry's program every weekday. And you know, Larry, I'm going to toot your horn a little bit because you don't. Larry is here as host Monday through Friday talking with you and all of his great guests. Then he's also doing the Calling All Pets program. And then he's going over to Garden Expo and doing a special gardening show with Shelley Ryan on the weekends. He opens up his house for this special summer event every single summer to host public radio listeners who want to hang out on his deck and take a boat ride and eat good food and talk with public radio hosts and public radio listeners like you. Larry's a great guy and hosts a great program and is worth your pledge of support right now. How about $10 a month? That'll work for you, won't it? 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. And we will send you this great book. I know a lot of people that would love this book, 101 Ways to Help Birds by Laura Erickson.
Sherry and Randolph phoned in and says, with a contribution, says she really enjoys the programs. We're at $2,560 now, so I'll do the math on that. $4,500 to go to reach our $7,000 goal hour.
That's a good start, but the hour is almost over, and it's $7,000 is a ways off. But you know what, Larry? We meet these goals one pledge at a time, and mm-hmm. your pledge will help us reach this goal at 1-800-383-9772. Already have all the books you want for birds? Do you have a birder in your life, someone who loves birds? Hey, give it as a gift. 101 Ways to Help Birds by Laura Erickson. Yours for a pledge of $120 a year or more to Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. The thank you gift that we're only giving away today on the program, Larry.
Just during this program. And she talks in her book about how to enhance the natural habitat of your backyard. She talks about supplementing that backyard habitat. She talks about helping birds when you're away from home on the road or while you're birding or just doing during outdoor recreation. And she talks about helping birds on a larger scale, at a larger level as well. And then, of course, helping birds at home. So lots of ways that you can enhance the natural habitat of your backyard, that you can supplement your habitat in the backyard if you already think you're in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. Well, there are some other things that you might be able to do as well. And you'll learn those ways when you call in with your contribution and we send you a copy of Laura's book at 1-800 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. We have about 3.5 minutes to go to reach our goal of $7,000. We'll do it with your help. It'd be fun to have a couple of those tickets go, you know, $1,200 for...
Yeah, please don't delay, because only a couple minutes left in the hour, and if you want to come and join us at Larry's house on June the 28th for the Cajun cookout on Larry's Bayou, all the great Cajun food, and Gene Ferracca and Larry Mueller and other people at Wisconsin Public Radio. I plan on being there, and I'd love to talk to you, too, at Larry's cookout, or no, I'm sorry, the Cajun cookout on Larry's Bayou.
I have trouble with that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. $600 for one ticket, $1,200 for two, and you can do this monthly. If you want to do $100 a month, we'll be happy to set that up for you. But do make the decision to pledge at any amount right now at 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
We really rely on you. You listen to this station. You listen to this program. And we are listener-supported. We've talked about this in the past, about how you provide about one-third of the financing for Wisconsin Public Radio. So you're the most important financial source for us, but you're also, you know, it wouldn't be a program. We wouldn't have programs here without your phone calls.
That's right. Having that ability, too, to call in and ask questions. Our listeners, our callers are just the best in the country. Right now we're asking, though, for a call at 1-800-383-9772 with your pledge of support, $10 a month, $120 pledge, and you get 101 ways to help the birds.
1-800-383-9772. We're going to have to go away in just a little bit here, but then Laura's going to be back with us to answer more of your questions after our news break. But for now, think about how much you would like to contribute, then pick up the phone and call 1-800-383-9772. We're at about $3,000 now. We could still use your help to make that goal of $7,000 for the hour. We could actually do that with a few calls.
We absolutely can do it with your help. This book provides 101 doable things that can make a world of difference. Well, your pledge makes a world of difference, too, at 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Call now and through the news in order to say thanks to Larry and this great program and pick up a copy of 101 Ways to Help Birds.
Here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy you're listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Laura Erickson, author of 101 Ways to Help Birds, an ornithologist. She works now as the science editor at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. A wonderful person who knows a lot about birds. If you have a question, give us a call at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Laura, we have Mike in Castle Rock on board. Mike, hello.
I've noticed over the last couple of years, three times this year and once last year, a Cooper's hawk caught a bird, and right after it caught it, A male, or in this case a female redtail, showed up and took it away from it. So, and that's more than a coincidence. I think what happens is that they must follow these birds around because, this bird wasn't local. I looked around here. I didn't see anything beforehand. And, all of a sudden out of the blue, it showed up. I've got a question, though. At the bird feeder, I use peanut butter. Now, there's a lot of stuff in peanut butter, like polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. Are those particularly good for birds? Because they're not particularly good for us.
No. When I use peanut butter, I always use the 100% natural stuff. So I can be sure not to have that stuff in there. Birds really like peanut butter, and it's probably not bad for them, but it's also probably not particularly good to have the artificial ingredients. as far as that red-tailed hawk stealing the prey from a Cooper's hawk, red-tailed hawks are not maneuverable enough to chase little dicky birds, but they don't mind eating them if somebody else does the work. It's really surprising sometimes people have this mindset that birds have, quote, bird brains and can't figure things out, but every now and then you can. There was a big, back in the 90s, there was a boreal owl in northern Minnesota that spent over an hour doing battle with a flying squirrel that had snuck into a hopper bird feeder for the morning, and then when it got too sunny on it, it finally had to come out, and there was the boreal owl sitting there waiting. They battled for over an hour, and the boreal owl finally killed it. And it was on the ground trying to start eating it, and in flew a gang of crows who stole it away.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, that's a great story. Mike, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bill in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. My question is, we have red poles in our yard, lots of them in the air up at the top of the trees, and how do you get them to feeders, and what should you feed them?
Their favorite food is what they call Niger seed or thistle, that black seed,
right.
And they will eat it in the socks or in a, you know, pole, you know, a tube feeder
right.
that has the tiny holes.
Mm-hmm.
That's their favorite non-natural food. Up in the trees, they really love birch seeds and other seeds that cling to the upper branches of deciduous trees. But, yeah, that's their favorite food. Once they are coming down to a feeder, they also like sunflower seed. So those are the two things I most often see them eating. Red poles are interesting because they can survive colder temperatures than any other songbird, including ravens.
Wow.
They can survive when it's 80 below zero.
Well, that is something I didn't know. I'm learning a lot today. Laura, you need to be on more often.
I love your show, Larry. On my bucket list of things I really wanted to do at least once before I died, being on the Larry Mueller show was the top thing.
Well, and it was about just almost exactly a year ago that you were on. I think it was in March last year you were on with
Right, when I was visiting Madison, and my owl was visiting the station, too. My owl, Archimedes.
Archimedes. Well, Linda in Blanchardville has a comment or question. Linda, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
And I'm so happy to have this program on this snowy day out here in rural Wisconsin. My question, and it's something I've given a lot of thought to over the time, so I'm glad there's an expert there to help me with it, is that it has to do with bird feeders. And I'm not currently a fan of bird feeders unless you could change my mind. And the reason is I'm concerned about the amount, when I'm in pet stores or other stores, that I see the stacks and stacks of bird seed and the resources needed to produce that, the energy. Laura mentioned she was concerned about energy and the, you know, being green in this process. And I'm just wondering,
what about the
worldwide, what kind of energy is consumed in producing the amount of bird food that is used by people in their feeders? And the other question associated with bird feeders is, are we creating a culture of couch potato birds, is how I would put it.
Okay.
Okay, those are really good points. Bird feeding does take energy, and some of the crops that they use for bird seed are ones that they administer pesticides to. We're talking about not just energy use, but land use that could be used for more wild things. So it is one side of that balance. On the other side of the balance, people are getting more and more and more removed from the natural world. And ways that we can make people aware of the beauty and importance of the natural world, the more we are able to engage in dialogue about the importance of protecting the natural world. And birds are one of the most inviting, accessible parts of the natural world for a lot of people. That said, we do have to be careful about the bird food that we use. For example, Niger seed that is grown in some places is in particular Burma, which has a horrible human rights record and a horrible environmental record. It's just not good to get seed from there. Right now, the U.S. government is prohibiting importing Niger seed from there. And also some of the seeds, in particularly bird seed mixtures, a lot of that seed is not healthy for birds, and they just ignore it. And they'll go for the sunflower seeds and, like, the white millet, and they'll ignore a whole lot of the other stuff. Well, if that stuff accumulates and is getting mildewed, fungus or bacteria growing on it, that's going to, in the long run, be harmful for those backyard birds. So it's very important to be conscious of what kinds of seeds you're growing and where they're coming from. And it's still using energy. But when you think about it, what are your alternatives? I'm looking out my window at bird feeders, and I made the, you know, in Ithaca, I decided I'm not springing for cable. The birds and watching them is going to be my entertainment. And so, you know, there would be other ways I would be squandering energy instead of squandering it on my birds. That's not to justify it. And we each have to make these, we each have to look at these moral questions about our activities as a personal thing and decide what things we can justify to make our lives as good as they can be. That was one of the things I really tried to address in my book, that we each need to be mindful of our activities, and we can't stay alive without eating animals and plants and consuming things and taking a little away from the world. And so when we're mindful of it, we can also be contributing to kind of give ourselves a good balance in the long run.
Very, very well put. And, you know, we're not really raising a bunch of couch potato birds, are we?
No, there's a few species who definitely have a higher survival rate over the winter when they are living in areas with bird feeders, and chickadees are one of those. I have, my personal belief is that it would be impossible for the world to have too many chickadees. there are some birds who, you know, will be moochers, and sometimes there's birds that would die a lot quicker without a bird feeder. A few of those, you know, sometimes it's an injury and the bird is actually perfectly healthy, but it collided with a window and cannot migrate. There's, you know, a few cases of brown thrashers and things like that that survive a winter thanks to having a bird feeder who would otherwise be dead. But I don't think overall it makes birds lazy. The one time to be really careful about bird feeding is during the summer. Not when, you know, a lot of times birds will come to my feeder and pork out adult birds, and then they'll go back to finding bugs to feed their babies. But it gives them a little break when they can eat quickly and kind of replace their own energy that they're spending a lot of on feeding their babies. But once the babies leave the nest, it's not a good idea to be watching the orioles feeding their babies jelly. That's all carbohydrates, and it's not a good food for growing babies who need much more protein. So that's when to close down those jelly feeders if they're feeding it to their babies.
And when is the time again? Tell me that time.
Well,
again.
If you're seeing it in midsummer.
Midsummer, okay.
If the orioles themselves are eating it, two adult orioles, they're eating just to get some more energy in between feeding their babies bugs. But if you're seeing an adult bird feeding jelly to a baby bird, and that's usually in July that you'd start seeing that, then close down that feeder.
Very good advice again. Linda, thank you very much for calling. And Joy Cardine joins us once again. And Joy, I tell you what, we've raised $7,325, so we're right on schedule with our $12,000 goal. Now we just have $4,675 to go.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've called in a pledge this hour, this drive, if you're already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, we are on track now to make this $12,000 goal with your call at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. And what a great hour to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for programming and pick up a couple of great thank you gifts.
Yes, and those thank you gifts include 101 Ways to Help Birds, written by Laura Erickson. And as you listen to Laura, you not only know how smart she is and how knowledgeable she is about birds, but also the care and the thought that goes into her answers to you. And she's had some wonderful answers today. And you'll find that same kind of information in her book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. It's information that some of the information you'll say, yeah, I know that. But there's a lot of information in this book that you at least I have not had occasion to know about.
That is saying something, Larry, because you have hosted probably 3 billion programs on this radio network, and you have talked to some of the best experts all over the country on all sorts of different topics, and I know you've done a lot of programs on birds, and I have to admit I smile because just about after every answer, Larry was saying, I didn't know that, or, oh, that's a great piece of information. Well, good to know that, and we're going to have you back. And that's right, Laura Erickson providing all sorts of great advice that even Larry Mueller didn't know. So we all learn with you, Larry. I didn't know this, too. And that's what I love about your program is I learn something new every single hour. 1-800-383-9772. If you, too, love learning something new every day and love learning along with Larry Mueller and all of his guests here on the Ideas Network, consider a pledge of $10 a month or $120 a year or more, and that's a great gift to Wisconsin Public Radio to keep these programs coming, and it gets you a great gift, too. 101 Ways to Help Birds by Laura Erickson will come your way if you'd like it, and automatically, whether you like it or not, we're going to send you the member benefit card.
And there you'll have two-for-one dining at 238 restaurants across Wisconsin, two nights for the price of one at 52 Bed and Breakfast. Someone emailed Jim Packard and said, you know, I already covered my costs. She took her two children with her on a bed and breakfast night and saved $120 right there.
There we go. Your pledge is paid for, and that pledge is working its way on these programs right now as we speak. And as we speak, Larry, we have less than 10 minutes left in the program today, and still looking for about $4,600 in contributions to meet that $12,000 goal. We are almost there and can do it with your help, your pledge at 1-800-383-9772. We make these goals one pledge at a time, and we're poised to make it, but not if you don't call 1-800-383-9772.
And we had one person call in and contribute $600 saying, I heard the music. I heard the music, and here it is again. Here it comes again. They're on board for the Cajun Cookout at Larry's Bayou, and you can be too. There are 15 tickets left, 7.5 pairs. So for a $1,200 contribution, we'll send you a couple tickets and get you involved in that. Or for $600, we'll send you one ticket, and you can still come.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Not only is there going to be a lot of great company, a lot of great food, great sceneries, Larry's backyard on beautiful Lake Monona, some boat rides maybe, weather permitting. And is it going to be Captain Scott or Captain Larry?
Well, I think it's going to be Captain Scott. Okay. I've mentioned before that Scott liked my boat so much that he bought one just like it. So he knows exactly how to run this boat.
And you know, you can Scott's zooming along on the lake, you can talk to him about wildlife, or if you choose to hang back with us and watch, the Cajun cook, is it Tom?
Tim Hall.
Tim Hall. He was on Gene Faraca's program. He sounds like a riot, and he is going to be a lot of fun watching him make this feast for us. And you can also talk to Sandy Sawchuk's going to be there. We can get some free pet advice while we're watching the Cajun cookout. It's going to be a lot of fun. $600 is the pledge we would ask from you for one ticket to this and $1,200 if you'd like to bring a friend. 1-800-383-9772. Pledge any amount that is comfortable to you. Any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, but we'd love to have you for this very special event on June the 28th at Larry's house from, 3 until 5 in the afternoon?
Well, Larry, 3 until or longer, yeah. Usually people hang around a little longer, and that's also the weekend of the big fireworks special in Madison. So a lot of times people, after the Cajun cookout or after a cookout at our place, they go to onto the fireworks. So, and you know, we just spent a lot of money to remodel the house, and
it's going to be good to see that. It's going to be, and it's very generous of you, Larry, to open up your house for this special event. I know you've been doing it for many years. I've been attending the past few years, and it's a ton of fun.
And
I hope you will though decide either to go to the Cajun cookout or decide just to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio of any amount, or if you're really interested in this book, the 101 Ways to Help Birds. Just a few more minutes left in the program for you to take advantage of the book thank you gift, the 101 Ways to Help Birds. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
We have about $4,000 to go to reach our goal, and we have about 5.5 minutes or so to do it. We'll do it with your help. As I've said before, you listen to this program. The station is listener-supported. We ask you to help pay for the service that you use. As a matter of fact, Joanne from Saukville phoned in a contribution. She says, my husband and I take turns with contributions. This is my turn, so she's doing it. Beverly in Bayfield says she can't imagine not having Wisconsin Public Radio. We all need it. The entire community needs it. Earl in Milwaukee had some nice things to say about this particular program. So many different programs on a daily basis with a lot of interesting guests, people like Laura Erickson, Paul and Judy and Slinger. They had a nice comment. Wisconsin Public Radio enhances the intellectual level of the citizenry. It's a component of the quality of our lives.
Isn't that nice? And it's great to see people from all over the state who listen along, Larry, to your program, and I think consider you a friend. And I know that that all the callers who call in consider the guests just a wealth of knowledge from guests like Laura Erickson. People from all over the state who listen in and partner up when it comes to pledge drive time and are willing to throw some money in the pot as we pass the hat here, because a third of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget comes from listener contributions. So please help pay for this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Remember that the pledge of $10 a month or more is the level to get 101 Ways to Help Birds by Laura Erickson and the member benefit card at that level. $10 a month, we'll do it that way if that's the way you want to do it, but please do make the decision to make that pledge right now at 1-800-383-9772.
Joan in Mount Horeb listens to the program a lot, keeps her going. She loves the different views that she hears on Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim in Madison says he's been listening more to the programs during the day, and it's given me a greater appreciation for the service. He likes to hear it in his car too, and I do as well. Phil in Wyawega says it's my lifesaver, where I find people who are interested in my ideals and my ideas. These are great people, and it's a part of, they are all part of this Wisconsin Public Radio family that we have here. We have a wonderful family of listeners, and the shows really wouldn't be there without your support.
That's right.
Your phone calls, your comments, your questions during the programs. That's what makes the programs work, your support by phoning in and asking questions. Well, now's the time to phone in and make a contribution. $120 a month, that would be wonderful. We're down, we only have $2,000 to go to reach our goal.
Good.
I believe, is it? No.
Yeah. Well, it's probably close to that, Larry, because I know the phones have been very, very busy, and they're frantically trying to enter them into the computer. But two more minutes for you to make your pledge. Your pledge makes a difference. Your pledge could help us reach this goal and stay on track. Your pledge says thank you to Larry Mueller and Jim Packard and all of the great guests that you hear on this program every day. Please call 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. Make that pledge of any amount, be it $10 a month or $100 a month. The $100 a month that gets you the tickets to the Cajun cookout. The $10 a month gets you 101 ways to help birds.
Or $50 a month and you can have one ticket to the Cajun cookout.
There we go.
Along with the book and along with the member benefit card. So all that comes your way with your contribution. We're going to have to go away in just a few seconds now. But I tell you what, there's still a minute or two for you to call in with your contribution. Here's the number again, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Big thank you to Laura Erickson, who's a wonderful person. We're going to have her back as soon as we can to talk more about birds. Again, 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org online. Whatever you do, do it soon. Call in now. Thanks for listening.